Welcome back to Horizons. I'm in conversation with Deirdre O'Sullivan. Deirdre, you were talking about nursing and having your children and your family. You're based in Dublin. Had your house?
We did. We bought a house. Initially, we were living after we got married and we had two children. We were living in a flat near Kilmainham. And we bought a house then in Kimmage Grove, bought it off the plans. It was a three-bedroom townhouse. We bought that and moved into that in the beginning of 1982.
It can be a hard time, you know, trying to work, two little children, or it can be great. What was it like for you?
It was a happy time with the children. I had two small children and I had a third. I had three under three. At that stage, I wasn't working. And if people remember back in the early 80s, the interest rates were like 16%. So our mortgage then would have been nearly as much as it was when I finished paying off this house. So back in the 80s, it could have been most of our wages, about £500 a month at the time.
You were a nurse, so you had lots of skills, a children's nurse.
Yes, oh, I did. I did. I had lots of skills, but three small children, it was busy. Once my eldest started in play school, I met another mom going to play school, and that was helped. So I would have been lonely enough. You were home alone with the children, and my husband at the time was, he was always drinking and he was continuing to drink. He held down a good job and never missed work, but he was absent. His drinking was an issue in our marriage. And there were times he tried very hard to, you know, to stay off it. And what was hardest, I think, and a lot of people will get this, is the promises every morning that he'd be home for his dinner. And you'd be waiting and looking out the window expecting him to come. You never lost hope. And I know now it's like this magical thinking, really, that things will change. And, you know, repeatedly and repeatedly, the disappointment and the sadness that he didn't arrive, you know.
And you were at home with the three children by yourself. So you'd want something to happen. You'd want someone to come home for a bit of diversion.
You'd be looking for somebody to come home, yeah, to help out in some way. It rarely happened. Over the years, like I was going to work, I was sometimes having to leave the children, you know, with him in the house, and he would have been drinking. So that was difficult. And eventually that took a toll on my mental health, really. Yeah.
Had you support?
I had, my family were great support and I had good friends, and his family were a great support as well. At that stage, we decided to build a house here in Killarney because we were spending a lot of time down here. We came most of the summer, lots of weekends we were here. So we decided rather than move to a bigger house in Dublin, we'd build one here. And we had started that process, but that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I decided when the house was built in 1995, my solution to the problem was that I would move down myself with the children for a year, and I took a year off from work, and that he would stay in Dublin. That was kind of my way of figuring out to have a bit of space, I suppose, and to see. But actually he got work and he moved down the same time as me, and he moved down. So we were here together then for about 12 months, but his drinking was getting worse, and I had to make a decision then in 1999 that we would separate.
And you had stayed with it for a long time?
We were married in 1980, yes, yeah, so it was almost 20 years, yeah.
That's a long time and a lot of wear and tear on your mental health, as you say.
Yes, it was. I eventually sort of came to a point where I was so unwell myself that I realised that the only life I could save was my own life. I couldn't save him, and I did try. So my part in it is that I held on that long. Maybe I often think since that if I had had the strength maybe or the courage to have left earlier, there might have been something to save, because he did stop drinking at that stage in the hope that we could stay together again, I think. But at that stage, for me, it was too late. And he went to AA, he went for counselling, and he stopped drinking for a number of years. They were happy years in that we were still living in the same house, although not together, but he was more of a support. Certainly my youngest daughter would have benefited a lot from that. And I went back to college at that time as well. It was part of my makeup that we stayed together as long as we did. You stay really for the children. And for all the other people that will be affected when a marriage breaks up, you stay really for all of those reasons.
What about the social stigma?
The shame?
Yeah. That kept an awful lot of people in marriages down through the years.
I'm not sure that was so big for me. It was accepted, that he was drinking and I was living at home and doing all the work and all the responsibility. He's much loved and he's a very good human being and very kind, very generous, but happens to have an addiction to alcohol. I had to come to a place where the only person I could make a decision for was myself, and I had to trust that that would be right for everyone.
Time for a piece of music, Deirdre. Something from the Friary Folk.
Okay. On Taish Éirí, it's The Resurrection. I think it's Orída. It's in Irish. And myself and Aileen Griffin are singing this piece on the CD.
Deirdre O'Sullivan, you're in Killarney, you've had a tough enough time, your children are getting big, and you went back to college. What were you studying?
I studied counselling and psychotherapy in CIT in Cork. When I moved to Killarney in 1996, needing support and needing to kind of find my own kind of community, I had started the SHEP, Certain Person Development, in Killarney. And I did further training with SHEP, so I trained to become a tutor with them. And then decided I'd go on and do counselling psychotherapy, because I'd been in counselling myself for a long number of years at that stage. And it's sort of a natural thing. You come to a point where you feel, well, I've benefited so much from this, now I'd like to give something back. So I was lucky to get a place in CIT. Gus Murray was the director at the time. And I went straight through. I did the 4 years and qualified as a psychotherapist in 2005.
Well done. Have you enjoyed that work?
I have loved that work. At the same time, I was working for the Brothers of Charity here in Killarney, the CNS in early intervention. I was working with the babies, the under threes in the Killarney and South Kerry area. So I could be in Carrigsaveen, I could be in Kemare, I could be anywhere, Cremon, Killorglin, Killarney. It was a continuation of the nursing work.
You've lots of skills.
Yes, nothing is ever wasted. I'm still a nurse, even though I'm not practicing as a nurse.
The counselling can be exhausting.
It can be initially. I remember going to supervision at one stage and my supervisor saying to me, if you're working harder than the client, if there's something not working here. So I think you, with experience, you learn to stay in your own seat and you allow the client to stay in theirs. And you're present, really present, listening. They need to be just listened to, witnessed, supported, and they find their own way from there.
All down through the years, through the youth service when I worked with it, we would refer people to counsellors, and we had only one or two or three people that we knew, that we trusted. Mm-hmm. It can be very hard to find a counsellor.
Mm-hmm. It can be difficult to find somebody. Word does get around, and I think there are a lot more counsellors now working in the Killarney area than there would have been back then. And there's a lot of people with a lot of experience of working with young people as well. And the latest thing, I think, really is the play therapy. Is more and more people are going on to do play therapy to work with the younger children. I think it's very important if somebody is going for counselling that they check out, first of all, you know, go for one or two sessions. See, does it feel like a good fit? Try this out for maybe two or three sessions and we'll review it then and see is it working or not. And if it's not, then you go and find somebody else. You know, if you're not comfortable or it doesn't feel right for whatever reason, see somebody else, find somebody else.
I presume you always have to check out qualifications.
Absolutely. People should have their qualifications readily available for you. Qualifications and experience. And I think certainly for me, I would think somebody in their training needs to have done some experiential group work. I would be coming from a place where it's not all academic or theory, that there is some experiential group work so that you've emptied out some of your own baggage and you can be present and you know what it's like to be sitting in front of somebody very vulnerable and exploring your own process so that you're available to sit with somebody else. So I think that's very important.
So people listening who feel, I have this issue, I really think it needs attention, how would you advise them to go looking for help?
I would advise them, first of all, to look on the two websites. There's the Irish Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy and there's the IHAIP, so the Irish Association for Humanistic and Integrative Psychotherapy. So they're the two websites to find somebody who's accredited. Here in Killarney, you've South West Counselling Service and you have the services internally as well. You need to check that people are in supervision.
Themselves, that they're
absolutely that they're attending supervision. Even with that, I think the most important thing is to feel you and you're comfortable with the therapist. And for if any reason it doesn't fit, you know, people know themselves that they just don't feel they're being met or they're being heard or they're being somebody is too directive or whatever it is.
And it can be very expensive.
It can, absolutely. A lot of therapists will do what they call a sliding scale. If somebody is doesn't have enough money to pay, the fees can be anything from 50 to 60, 70 euros an hour. The other side of that is training is very expensive. You're paying for supervision, you've insurance as well, and you might have the cost of a room to rent as well. Like, there are costs associated with it too. But
Deirdre, do you think it works?
In my experience, yes. We know now that in most cases, especially where there's been severe trauma, talk therapy doesn't work very well. And there are new therapies. There's the EMDR thing and there are other therapies that kind of pass by our not so much our defense systems, but what happens when we're traumatized is that our brains, they kind of split in two, to say it simply. Where an animal gets traumatized, and if they survive whatever it is, if they're being chased, an animal will shake off the energy, the excess energy and the adrenaline, they'll shake it off in their bodies. A human being can't do that. the trauma, the experience of the trauma gets stuck in our bodies and stays in our bodies. And we need to find ways to kind of access that and release it, really. It's that simple. But talk therapies don't always get to it, yeah. So Bessel van der Kolk is, and Gabor Maté, you might have heard some of these, are the experts now in trauma these days. We find them on YouTube. And Gabor Maté, at the moment, he's there a lot because he's talking a lot about what's happening in Palestine and Gaza. He would say an awful lot of issues, and addiction, he would say, is a way of managing your life when there has been trauma in your childhood. So that would be his take on trauma.
And going back to addiction again, what would you say to somebody that's setting out in their journey and they're with a partner who is drinking too much or taking drugs nowadays?
Get support for yourself, whether it's going to Al-Anon or any of the addiction services looking for help and support. I think to realise you're involved in the addiction in whatever way we do, thinking that you can love the person enough that they will stop using drugs or drinking, and that there's something you can do to change them, won't work. So by changing yourself, by getting support for yourself, understanding how you're part of it in a way, dealing with that for yourself gives you space to be able to see what's going on in the relationship. I remember the first person who ever asked me, how did I feel about my husband's drinking? Nobody had ever asked me that. And it was a real eye-opener for me. I had no idea how I felt. I was managing 4 small children, maybe at that stage, and a job and the house and the bills and everything, and the worry, was he going to get home safely at night? All of that. Probably didn't know what a feeling was at that stage.
You were numb.
I was, yeah, but I wouldn't have known that. So when she asked me how I felt, that was a light bulb moment for me, and that was the start of something changing.
I'm in conversation with Deirdre O'Sullivan. We'll take a short break, come back to us after this break.